really interesting from Mike Hazen talking about this is the time. I mean, this he is looking at the next 7 to 10 games as the decision-making process. The trade deadline is August 31st, and he wants to see something change because right now...
But we are not hitting. We are not scoring runs. We are not executing at the level we need to execute. There's nobody that's happy with what's happened. This is not the team that we, you know, the results from a team that we put on the field necessarily. And we have no excuses. We don't have one person that is injured. We have not been impacted by the virus. Mm. There are no excuses. We have played poorly.
The question I have basically is, you know what, the guys that were replaced, are they hurt or butthurt? That's my question right there. Because to me, listen, that was a benching to me. Now, Mike Hazen said it wasn't a benching, just for the record right there. Mm-hmm. And to me, I've been on a lot of losing teams, and I know what a benching looks like, especially because of the faces. And the faces of the guys in the dugout told me they got benched for the most part. I don't know how else you parse that when you actually mm-hmm. pull them out of the sixth inning, five guys, wholesale changes like that. To me, once again, it just seemed like these guys, what are you going to do about it? That's what it comes down to. The guys that were replaced. I mean, are you hurt? Are you hurt where you'll stand up and slide the protective cup in and do all that you can to get yourself out of the funk? You may be hurt. I get that. After all, I mean, I think that's what Torrey was trying to do, is to make you feel that way. Or are you going to be butthurt about it, where you start sucking your thumb, looking for others that will suck their thumbs with you, metaphorically speaking? Mm-hmm. There's a difference, and I hope they're just hurt that they went out there and got pulled from the game.
I like how he stood up for his guys, saying, I know what they're doing off the field. I know how hard they're working. And I totally acknowledge to any fan who feels like we don't have any fight that that is what it looks like when your offense looks like this. He said he's not there. He doesn't believe it. But he doesn't dismiss anybody being so bent out of shape at what looks like a lack of competitiveness. Here's what's crazy. I told you the trade deadline's coming up August 31st. He said the next 7 to 10 days are really going to be an eye-opener here and future decisions. Well, you lost to the Padres 3-1. 6 of your next 7 to 10 games are against the Padres. You have 3 games at Colorado, who's probably the third hottest team in Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. behind the Yankees and Cubs. And then, oh, by the way, there's still 2 games left in the Astros. We might see some massive changes coming up at the trade deadline, because why hold on to a team that can't handle? And that's what it looks like. Let's get more we'll get more deeply into this coming up at 9:30. But the Suns had a huge moment, both in the career of Devin Booker and in the future of the organization, with just one win. Our Suns nerd, Kellen Olson, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Going to jump right back into Diamondbacks coming up at 9:30 and our exclusive conversation with Mike Hazen. Right now, Kellen Olson has joined us, President Suns nerd, reporter. And Kellen, all right, just all I have to do is say, Suns Clippers, what grabbed you the most?
Just how meaningful this game was. Not only just for the team, but for Devin in particular, I think there's so much significance to him getting that moment for himself. And obviously after the game, he wasn't even really willing to admit it at all. I asked him if he could even take just a couple of seconds and just recognize that after years of just a lot of losing around here and just trying to get not only the team's reputation in the right direction, but his own, if he was willing to at least grasp that he did this on the biggest stage he's had so far, and he wasn't willing to do that because he's still looking forward. He's still got a lot of work left to do in Orlando, and it kind of speaks to the, I don't want to say a mentality change because that's the one he's always had, but just the mentality the team had going into Orlando. And now it's fascinating because they've been saying we're going to take this game by game. We're going to bring the same intensity and work together in each game. Well, this is the ultimate test, right, tomorrow, because that was the biggest win of the season, and now they've got to play an Orlando or an Indiana team, rather, that's shorthanded. They don't have Domantas Sabonis. Victor Oladipo still working his way back. Can they come in and take care of business like they have in these first three games? It's going to be interesting to see how they come out in that one, because this is the part where it gets interesting, because they just beat a title contender in a way where their star player outdueled two of the best players in the world. I'm really interested to see what happens next.
He may not say this, KO, but was that the best game Devin Booker's ever played?
I think it has to be, Wolf. I think that he has played that well in a handful of games, but this one really mattered, and I think that's what makes it
right.
Different. And I think the thing that no one really talked about, and rightfully so, with the way that Devin played offensively and the shots that he was hitting, and of course the shot he hit at the end, was he spent a fair amount of that game guarding Paul George on the other end, and he wasn't doing all too shabby in that job that he had to do for this team to be in the position they were in. And it was so great to see him play the way that he has, in terms of just being a passer as well. The defense a couple of times, or a handful of times, really forced him to get other people involved, and he did. He had 8 assists, and he could have had 10 to 12, as usual for him. I thought he was excellent, and I just thought the team played really well, too. And that's been the big thing here from Orlando, is that despite the way Devin played in the last game, it's really been a team effort in every single win. If you look at all three games, really, there have only been really 2 or 3 individual performances that I would say weren't good from all three games combined. And you just look at the bench contributions they're getting from Campaign, Jamal Carter, Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges have been great. Ricky Rubio looks like an all-star right now. They're trending in an awesome direction.
Since you brought it up just there, I was not a fan of the Rubio or Saric signing. And I think for the regular season, you could argue I was proven right. In the bubble, I'm dead wrong. They have been fantastic so far in these three games. What is it that Rubio and Saric, if anything, are doing different? Is it just being a sixth man? Is it just Rubio being healthy, which that's part of the reason why I don't like the signing, is because he's hardly ever healthy, but he is healthy. What are these two doing that they weren't doing in January and February?
Yeah, I think you spoke to it right there, Doug. This is such like a unique period, because teams got pretty much an extra offseason, and you can tell how much it's helped Rubio. You'll remember the first game coming back from, I believe, the All-Star break, he looked great. And then there was that first game back he had from having his first child that I believe was in Madison Square Garden. And that was probably the best game that he's played in a Suns uniform, was that game against the Knicks. And you'll remember that game in L.A. against the Staples Center that was in early January, I want to say, where he slipped on a wet spot, and he was never really listed on the injury report. That looked like a horrible injury, but apparently he was fine. He wasn't playing like he was fine. He was playing like he was still at 60, 70, 80%, and we're seeing him fully rejuvenated. But with that in mind, a fully rejuvenated Ricky Rubio isn't shooting the ball the way we thought he would be, certainly in Orlando right now. It just looks like he's in this whole other groove. And Dario really took the last couple of months to get really in the best shape I've ever seen him in his NBA career. He just looks so much more confident with the ball. And I think that has to do with him just being a step faster and a little bit stronger as well. Just being able to take a couple dribbles, get in the paint, and finish over guys. It's been great to see how that move has not only helped him to get to the bench, but the team as well in the second unit, particularly Cam Johnson, who is that extra shooter Devin's always needed in the starting lineup.
Speaking of Cam Johnson right there, and Mikal Bridges, right? I'm looking at those two guys right now. Will they impact Kelly Oubre Jr. and his future in the Suns uniform?
Oh, yeah, that's the big question coming up for the next couple of months, and really all the way up till maybe next offseason. I think that it certainly has to impact their decision-making and how they're thinking. Now, the bigger question with Kelly is, okay, if you are looking to trade him, what can you get for him, and is it worth what you would be getting from him in the regular season? Because the thing is, even with Cam and Mikal being able to step in, they still can't bring what Kelly brings. That's just such a unique aspect of his game. They're really not a lot of guys in the league just have his intensity and have his energy, and more importantly, just the way that he has shifted the locker room ever since he got here. So if you trade him, what are you getting for him? But also, you have to just it's risk assessment for James Jones. He has to figure out, does he have a real chance of re-signing Kelly Oubre in a year? Because remember, he's on a two-year deal, which means he can't sign an extension this offseason. So they're going to have to make a call at the trade deadline to figure out, okay, how good of a chance do we have in terms of re-signing him? Would he want to come back? Do we have the money? Do we want to bring him back? Wherever that answer lies, I think they're going to take it in the direction they think is best, which wouldn't surprise me if they dealt him, especially, like you said, with the way Cam and Mikel have looked. Mikel is the guy we haven't really talked about at all, and he's looked great in Orlando. And when we saw that first, second scrimmage game, we thought he was going to be the story of the bubble, but then this team as a whole just really came out of nowhere. Cam just looks a lot more confident, especially with the break. He's mentioned it, and his coach has mentioned it, that this was kind of like a second offseason for him. And the only reason he feels like a rookie still is because he has to carry everyone's bags and stuff. But in terms of his experience on the court, he doesn't feel that way anymore. And when you have those two guys in place, it makes it a lot easier to get rid of someone like Kelly Oubre. But you better be sure about that decision. And I'm sure it's what James Jones is thinking about the most in terms of projecting this team a couple years in the future.
Say I got about 30 seconds left. Memphis plays today, San Antonio plays today, and they play against two teams that aren't in the race for the 8 seed, Utah and Denver, because they're already high up in the standings. If they both lose, Memphis and San Antonio, the Suns are only 2.5 games behind Memphis, and the Suns are only a half a game behind San Antonio, and they're within the window to be able to create the in-game playoff scenario. It's now not a stupid question, Kellen Olsen. Are the Suns going to the playoffs?
I still don't think so. I think that they have too much work to do, and the frustrating part is you just think back to some of the losses they had. How about at Memphis? They lost two games at home against Memphis this season where they just simply didn't show up, and then the back-to-back losses at home, too, against the Warriors and Pistons. There's just a little bit too much
work. Those Warrior losses, yes.
Yeah. There's just too much work for them to do, unfortunately, but what opened the door is was something no one saw coming. Is Memphis going to go 1-7 or 0-8 here? They got terrible news yesterday that Jaren Jackson Jr. is out for the rest of the year. That's their second best player. So this is a huge moment for Ja Morant not to let everything completely fall under them, and it could. That's the strange thing about this bubble. We don't really know what's going to happen, and we didn't know that the Suns were going to be in this, but they're in this, and it's fun to talk about, Doug. You know, I don't mind it.
Yes or no, Kellen, is Cameron Payne the backup point guard?
Yes, right now. I think that you can take this short sample size and say for sure that he should be back next season, but this is still like a critical need for the team going forward. I think that finding that right third guard, someone like Luke Kennard, for example, who they were in trade talks with, is a really good fit, and we've seen how much it can help this team right now in the short term, and Cameron's been a great boost for this team. But with that being said, they should still look to add another body in the future. But right now, absolutely. Yeah, it's not good news for Ty Jerome either way, or Eli Okobo, or really anyone that's looking to get those minutes right now, and deservedly so. Cameron's been awesome in all three games. It's been great to see for him, who was a guy who would look like he was out of the NBA, and now he's certainly back in it.
Next time we have Kellen Olsen on, it'll be his job to fix the Diamondbacks' offense and the Coyotes' power play. Thank you, Kellen.
Thanks, Kellen.
No one can do that, Doug. No one.
Okay, buddy.
Kellen Olsen, our resident Suns nerd, Suns insider, ArizonaSports.com is where you can find more from Kellen on his deep dives into the Suns. No Suns basketball today as they have the day off before playing on Thursday. Coming up next, Mike Hazen answered the questions that we've been wanting to know, but he basically said, we got no excuses and we got a hit, and we got 7 to 10 days to do it. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Devin Booker? Yeah, Book. Ray. The shot. Ray Spence hitting the shot over Paul George. Spinning away from Kawhi Leonard. And you were fouled on the shot. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is a big deal when you look at how bad the officiating is when you play the Suns. The NBA doesn't care. And now you have a shot like that, and suddenly you start getting calls. Is it right? No. Call the game. But
hey,
hopefully it'll change.
All you got to do is watch Luka Doncic play. I'm being totally serious.
I know.
Just watch Luka Doncic play and the Mavericks and how many calls he gets.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's because there's national hype about him, and that's why. I tell you, I really, if you missed any of it, it'll be up at arizonasports.com. Great opportunity to subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast, and therefore you'll have different conversations we have with guests go right to your phone. So you can find it at any minute of the day if you missed any of our conversation with Mike Hazen. And I appreciated how he handled the Jake Lamb question, because we asked him, you know, personally, he's a great guy. But how does he bring this organization closer to winning a championship?
To the first point, I would concur, even knowing him much deeper than a superficial level. He is one of the best human beings. So that is 100% accurate. Look, he struggled. He got hurt. He struggled. He struggled to come back from that injury. You know, I think from a timing standpoint, you know, things just haven't clicked for him. Look, singling him out in the tub of guys that are hitting 200 or below. Unfortunately, you know, he's not the only one. And
I love what he said, because it's the right thing. You know, if Jake Lamb is producing well and everybody else isn't, guess what? This team's still in about the same spot they are. And if everybody else is looking good and Jake Lamb is looking terrible, you're probably going, well, I don't know why Jake Lamb's there, but, you know, hey, the Diamondbacks are doing well. I don't have a problem singling out Jake Lamb for this reason, and that is when he's been this poor for 2.5 years, it's not a small sample size. Yes, you can make the argument, well, he's been hurt, so the sample size is small, but at what point does that become part of the MO? I want to stand on the desk and say this is business, not personal, about Jake Lamb, but there's only two reasons why you keep a Jake Lamb on the team right now at 056. I should say three. One of them is money, because you gave him an extension. But I don't think Mike Hazen is the type of person that is afraid to admit, I screwed up, he's gone. It's because either A, he's too good of a guy and you don't want to do it, which makes zero sense in professional sports, or you're afraid of what the clubhouse will think. And I got to tell you, Clubhouse, you don't get an opinion anymore. You guys stink. You have done so poorly at following what we've asked you to do, and I'm pretending to be the general manager here, at following along with the offensive game plan. You've done so poorly executing that having a roster spot for Jake Lamb makes no sense. I think it sends a message to the Clubhouse, we're serious here. And you can say all the guys know. You can say all the guys are working hard, but what gets people's attention is when people are gone. And I don't see how you can make the argument, well, it's just 2 weeks into the year. It's been 2.5 years.
Listen.
You got to do it.
Yeah, listen. What Torey Lovullo was doing in the sixth inning, that to me has got my attention, ladies and gentlemen. That to me is a big deal. What were you doing right there? Did you notice Cole Calhoun actually talking to Torey up on the steps after he made those changes? The look on the guys' faces in the dugout told me they were benched. And I was wondering what Cole Calhoun was saying to Torey Lovullo. I wondered what kind of conversation they were actually having, because Calhoun strikes me as an old world player, a guy from a bygone era, a guy that would want answers in that situation. It's so, this to me is a huge story. I'm not a conspiratorialist, Basinonians, but I am the grassy knoll. And I do wonder why Torey did that. If it's not a benching, what was it? What was it? Why do it? You know, you could build a case and say maybe Torey made the changes so the conversation post-game wasn't about the drastic measures he took, right? Maybe it was more about that, I should say, the drastic measure that he took. Maybe it was about that and not Mad Bum. Maybe he didn't want to talk about Mad Bum. Maybe he didn't want to talk about how bad the team is playing. Maybe that's why he did it. Bring attention on himself in this drastic measure that he actually took, replacing five starters in the lineup in the sixth inning.
Friend of the Doug and Wolf Show, Steve Gilbert, dvax.com, post-game show, asked the question, were you trying to send a message to the players in that top of the sixth?
No. I don't send messages like that. I'll send messages directly face-to-face with guys and have those conversations. I just wanted to get some of our guys have been going every day, a little bit more rest, get them off of their feet. So definitely wasn't the intent to send any type of message. I just wanted to maybe live to fight another day, let them watch some baseball, let the understudies get some at-bats, some meaningful at-bats. A couple of them are going to be playing tomorrow, and I just didn't want guys to get stale. So that was my way of accomplishing two things, getting the right guys the rest and getting the understudies a couple at-bats, get their at-bats tuned up.
He's a really smart guy. He really is. Part of me wonders if, in fact, that's what he was doing. Mad Bum, you know what? Honestly, if you listen to the questions after, it was dominated by his wholesale change. Dominated by that move.
It is. I'm not calling BS on him in the sense that he's a liar, but I'm calling BS on him that he doesn't understand or he doesn't realize that is a message sent. There's no other way around it. I totally agree with him in the context of he is a stand-up guy. I'll go talk to a player if I need to go talk to a player. But nobody pulls out five guys the day after an off day and says, I wanted to get them off their feet.
Yeah.
In a 60-game sprint, you don't get days off during a game. You don't.
Yeah.
You put your best nine guys out there and you fight. And to me, Torrey Lovello is saying, these either A, aren't my best nine guys anymore, or they're not fighting. Fine. Get them off their feet. Yeah. No way am I buying that, Torrey. No way. Coming up next, Paul's Call has something for you to buy on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Every single day, the year 2020 seemingly stares us down and says to everyone on planet Earth,
have my signal. Unleash hell.
I mean, yesterday alone, gentlemen, we had that explosion in Beirut.
Before we could even think of what to do next, everything exploded. And when I mean everything, I mean everything.
That's a New Yorker in Beirut, an eyewitness. He was right there. He dove under a car to avoid the falling debris and save his life.
The people that were like literally standing right next to me didn't get so lucky. And a lot of them got hit on the head. Some of them died.
You have the gravity of real life events like that. And then in sports, we have the absurdity of this.
Why is everybody coming off the field?
Good question.
Why is everybody coming off the field?
The Pirates broadcast. And then on Twins Radio.
What do we got here?
I have no idea.
Players are coming off the field. And there's a drone that is now hovering around the ballpark right now. And that's it.
Everyone in the empty stadium saying,
hold it, hold it, what the?
Look, up in the sky. It's not a bird nor a plane.
There's a drone flying over the field.
Wow.
Okay.
We've got some serious confusion here.
Well, I guess if you can't get into the game, one way to see it is to illegally fly a hovercraft over. I don't think that's permissible.
No.
Just tune into the game.
No, not permissible. Not allowed. But it didn't prevent a 9-minute delay in the fifth inning.
There is a drone flying over Target Field right now.
I mean,
this is our first drone delay.
Sure is. It's 2020. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had to wait an extra 4 months for baseball. What's another 9 minutes?
Very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
Hey, you get New York on the phone. Replay.
Well, I don't have a built-in read for a drone delay.
That's a nice drone, too. That looks like a very expensive drone.
So,
Paulie, how do you take a drone out?
While they were getting New York on the phone, by the way. Okay. It's funny, as Al Wolf, a few pitchers in the bullpen started throwing baseballs at the drone. No joke. Basically,
okay,
it was target practice. They were treating the drone like the Astros, right? Trying to beam the drone, but bullseye! They missed.
Man, Paul, being the wannabe GM that I am, can you imagine a guy throwing his arm out trying to chuck a ball to hit a drone?
So attention 2020, if you're looking at me, we ain't backing down here, okay? Bring it.
Hit me with your best shot.
Because we're packing the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes, and just like us over here, another tough-talking dude with a mustache in COVID's direction.
Did not contract the virus. It took one look at me, ran the other way. It's probably in its best interest. So here we are. We're ready to roll. It's at a good place of football.
That's Gardner Minshew, son of Uncle Rico, or so we think.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Right. Minshew calling his two-day quarantine brutal and saying he was just exposed to a person with COVID. He tested negative, so get off him right now.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Right. Even though Jacksonville had a dozen players test positive, Gardner Minshew once again talking tough because he ain't one of them.
Did not contract the virus. Took one look at me, ran the other way. It's probably in its best interest.
Okay. Can you trash talk the virus? I don't.
Really?
As we wait for the D-backs offense to now break out, gentlemen.
I take a duck fart into right field.
Yeah, we take anything at this point, hitting 192 before last night's loss as a team. And props to the Doug and Wolf interview with Mike Hazen. Well done, well handled, well executed. Paulie, props to the D-backs GM himself for shooting fans
absolutely
straight.
Yes.
Everyone appreciates that.
Yes.
As for more tough talk, after more drama from the NBA bubble.
Out to CJ, out to Melo, straight away, three is good! Carmelo Anthony knocks it down, and the Blazers are up five!
Not just the Suns with a big, big finish, but a big force was Melo, and that dagger less than a minute to play at 15-11. Damian Lillard, though, not happy.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
Feeling the need to have Melo's back.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I think it's more disappointing that people are surprised by it. You know what I mean? He's a Hall of Famer, like I said. He's a great teammate. And that's what we expect from him. You know, we put him in those positions because we expect him to make those shots. We believe he's going to make those shots. And we brought him here because we knew he would make a difference for our team, and he's been doing that. So no surprises here. We expect that from him, and, you know, I'm glad that he's here to come through for us in those big situations.
So we're keeping an eye on the Blazers because they're just a game and a half behind eighth place Memphis at this point. So there you go.
Back finish. Well, wrap this thing up.
It's time for another edition of
Howdy Go Dang.
You know, for whatever reason, I'm not a guy who bags on Wolves, West Virginia.
Hey, don't be a smart guy.
But I will bag on Wolf for the time we did spend in West Virginia.
Ooh, fancy.
Now, the Greenbrier was all good. But driving 3 hours with Wolf to Morgantown, not good.
Not good for Daddy.
Now when I got Wolf giving me a 3-hour detailed story on the Mothman prophecies.
I'll be golden.
I'll let you look that up, Doug.
That was awesome, Paul.
Because
not again, I have.
Because it can always get worse now. It does.
Have you ever heard of a zombie, Cicada? This is good.
All right, here we go. Buckle up.
Two words. We've heard of murder hornets. Well, two more words we don't need to hear in 2020.
Zombie cicadas.
Come on! We're talking about insects, Doug, who aren't all there, literally.
They're cicadas with a third to a half of their body missing.
What?
That still fly around as if nothing is wrong.
You've got flying partial zombie cicadas.
Oh, my God.
How many things have we had this year?
WVU researchers say it's due to an infection where their abdomens eventually fall off along with other body parts till eventually they get a death sentence.
I'll be gone dying.
Only WVU finds this stuff.
These college researchers also say that because of the infection, two substances exist in the cicada system. One amounts to a hallucinogenic.
Oh. No.
And
we found cathinone, which is an amphetamine.
So the cicadas are tripping and speeding as they lose their abdomens while crawling around thinking nothing's wrong.
They're basically on amphetamines and hallucinogenics because of what the infection does to their system. Zombie cicadas.
I'll be golden.
Only WVU thinks they can think fluent cicada. How do they know what the cicada's thinking as he's flying around?
Intelligence, Douglas.
So, yeah. So if anyone has any questions.
Class, anyone, yeah, anyone, right. Anyone?
Wolf will hook you up with one of his old professors for one of his old classes that he never attended. That's Paul's call.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Come on, the tutors did your homework, Wolf.
Doug and Wolf's.
Knock it off, Paul.
I took your test, too.
The U. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is there's a lot of things wrong with the Diamondbacks. Mike Hazen is not one of them.
Amen.
I'll take Tim LaCastro, John Jay, Stephen Vogt, Jake Lamb, and Andy Young again today. No worries.
The biggest shot of Devin Booker's career in the best game he's ever played. Peace and strength.